Good day, friends. I can't think of a better way to begin a broadcast than to go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Now, perhaps we don't pray as often on this broadcast as we should. Prayer is a daily part of our life. We make these programs ahead of time, a number of them together. And, of course, we don't pray on every broadcast, but we do make prayer a part of our life. And as Christians, we hope you will. But let's take time out now at the beginning of this message to go to our Heavenly Father in a prayer. If you care to join us and can, feel free to do so. Let us pray. Our Father who hath made heaven and earth, we come into thy sanctified presence with glad hearts that you have spared our lives throughout the past days, and we now have an opportunity of glorifying thy name, not alone in what we hear and believe, but also in what we do. We're thankful, Father, for those who make this broadcast possible, and may it continue on to be sounded into the homes and hearts of many in this area. We are grateful, Father, for the means that's being used to restore those who are ill from their condition of sickness. Be with those who are up on beds of sickness today. We also pray for the family circles that find themselves in sorrow at this time, steeped in sorrow because of the death of a loved one. Yes, indeed, a loved one that may have been true to the Lord, one that naturally they know will stand before God at the final day as a just, in a just state from the standpoint of God being a just God. He will render unto every individual according to the deeds of their life. So we're leaving this with you, Heavenly Father. We pray for our nation and nations of the world that men may realize that God truly doth rule in the affairs of men. We're thankful now as we sound forth this final message in the Precious Passage series. Help us, Father, to do thy will. This we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. I can't think of a better way to terminate this series than going to Galatians chapter 6, and I'll read a verse that I think you've heard time and time again. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to make it very clear that I believe it is possible for people to become weary in well-doing. But there's a point that must be considered in whatever we do that is right and is good, that even though the recipient of what we're doing for someone may not respond favorably the way that we hope that they will, but the things that we do for God will never be done in vain. That's what the lady told me that was in the hospital who was suffering with arthritis. She said, "I know if I serve the Lord faithfully," she said, "I'll have a new body at the final time." And that's the way she interpreted 1 Corinthians 15:58. It simply says, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." She realized that even though many people might not heed what she had offered to them in teaching, or may not have responded to the grace of God because of the good that was done for them, yet truly her labor that she had put forth would never be in vain for the Lord. So it's much like a person obeying the gospel. Maybe you're listening to the broadcast today and you say, "Well, I'd like to obey the gospel, but I don't like somebody in the church." Well, the point is that you must like God. It's a matter between you and God, not a matter between you and some other person. After all, that may be a challenge to your life, but you're not going to be able to go through life without a challenge. God helps you meet that challenge. So it is possible to become weary in well-doing, but he says don't do that. "Now, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I am sure that this indicates to us that when our sins are forgiven at the time we are born again, that that's the beginning of a new life. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are made new." Paul mentioned that in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. But the point must be considered before our mind that we are children of God, but according to Romans 6 and 18, we are also servants. And we have mentioned to you on the broadcast before that we believe it to be a dangerous thing. For one to say, "The Lord has eternally saved me, I can't possibly be lost, and so it doesn't make any difference what I do in my life." Now, don't misunderstand me. There are many honest people who believe that they're saved eternally, and they go on to live a very good life. God will be their judge. But I believe this verse brings the point out that there's a possibility of a person fainting. There's a possibility of a person quitting. Don't you see that happen in the religious world today? John offered the same sentiment as Paul did here in Galatians, when John in Revelation 2 and 10 said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Remember, the crown of life comes not before our faithfulness unto death, but it comes after our faithfulness unto death. Now, I'm led to believe that if one truly obeys the gospels the Bible teaches, as a newborn babe in Christ, that individual will want to grow and develop. But there are people who fall by the wayside. In the parable that Jesus offered in the 25th chapter of Matthew, about the talents, you remember there was one servant who did fail. Now the master had confidence in him. We couldn't say, in making the comparison with Christianity, that this person had not become a servant of Jesus Christ. The application is there. But you see, in the end, he lost his soul. Why? Not because God didn't want to see him saved. Not because he was not given the opportunity, because he was selected, we might say, in that accounting, by the master to utilize one of the master's talents. I've told congregations all over the country, friends, that if you try to find anything wrong with that 25th chapter of Matthew in the story of the one talent servant that lost his soul, it's going to be a reflection upon the master. And let's not do that, because the master was the one who recognized him as a servant, and even in his sin, he referred to him as an unprofitable and wicked servant, but he was still a servant. So what does this indicate to you and me? It indicates to you and me that we can be born again, that we can come into the family of God. But since we are servants of righteousness, again as Romans 6:18 teaches, we should not become weary in well-doing. We should remain faithful unto death, that we might receive that marvelous crown. Well, someone says, now, preacher, you're making it look as though our Christian life is a life of work. Well, might I ask you, I can't understand the Christian life with all its joys and with all its hardships not being that which is an effort. Paul said in the 4th chapter of Ephesians that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. An effort has to be put forth. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is not the arrangement of working as though we, by our own power, could make heaven our home. Notice the reading, the teaching that's found in Philippians chapter 2. In the famous 12th verse, Paul tells Christians to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. You see, it's much like the Apostle Peter told the people at Pentecost who were about to obey the gospel. He said in Acts 2:40, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." There is something for you to do, but the whole thing must be kept in mind. The activity that we have must be according to God's plan, and it is by His marvelous grace that brought that plan and brought the forgiveness of sins possible that will help us in the Christian life. But hear me out. Back in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, when it says we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, that's as Christians, he then says in the 13th verse that it's God that works with us and in us and through us. Doesn't it indicate to you that when Jesus said in the 11th chapter of Matthew, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," that there's work involved here? Someone says, what do you mean? The next verse says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Now, I know the yoke indicates fellowship, but listen, people, the yoke also indicates work. Can you imagine that the day when the oxen were used, a farmer going out and putting the yoke upon a pair of oxen and just saying, well, now I did this for decoration. We will take a picture of them. No, he put that yoke on them because they were to pull together. When we come to Jesus Christ, we become a yoke fellow with him in a wonderful fellowship. Now listen, people, as long as we stay hitched, as long as we stay with him, as long as we work with him, knowing that he will work with us in the way that is right, then we're taking strides toward eternal life. If you want to take a chance today of just simply saying, I was saved at a certain time and I can't possibly be lost, and then just relax your efforts. You know, I find people sometimes who do that they don't believe that baptism is essential to salvation. They don't believe that the Lord's Supper is to be observed every first day of the week. In fact, as far as the government of the church and as far as the worship of the church is concerned, there doesn't seem to be the interest that there should be. Now, don't misunderstand me. These people may be very good people. They may be under deep conviction. The Lord's going to be the judge. But on this broadcast, As you know, if you've been a regular listener, we want to speak where the Bible speaks. We want to be silent where it is silent. Now, may I ask you in the closing moments, which is the Bible way and which is the safe way? Well, of course, the Bible way is the safe way. It leads to life eternal. You see, if you take the position that there isn't anything I really need to do to make heaven my home after I become a Christian, then you're really taking a great chance. But if you work with the Lord and realize that you are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, you're not to become weary in well-doing, for in due season you're going to reap if you faint not. The Lord will help you. When Christians make mistakes, they can call to their Heavenly Father, because as we mentioned to the congregation in Bloomfield, Indiana, not too long ago, in 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Of course, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. But if you're working with the Lord and for him, then truly when the fainting time comes, he will sustain you. He is your strength. He is your trust. We're going to leave this with you, and I want to thank the brethren who made this series possible. If you want to copy the outlines, just address a card or letter, either to the congregation that brings you this broadcast on this station or to the station itself. Remember, it is the Church of Christ broadcast. Remember, it's brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ. And I do want to thank these brethren. We want to thank you for listening. If you have questions or comments, feel free to send them in. We'll try to do the best we can with them, and truly it'll be without cost or obligation. Tell your friends and neighbors about this broadcast, and do be in the house of the Lord. Listen to the announcer for time of meetings of the congregation that brings you this broadcast, and may God bless us all as we obey that wonderful truth that is able to make all men free to serve him here and to live with him there.